Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to church. Nice to see you. We've already had one service over in the hall, and it went very well. And so it's good to be back again in some sense of normality. And I've been thinking for quite some time, the sooner the better. So it's good to be back again to see faces that perhaps you haven't seen for a wee while. And we're thankful to the Lord for this opportunity to get going. Again, still remembering those online, you're also very welcome. We know there are quite a few still at home. And so you're very welcome to join with us. You're not going to be listening to recorded songs or worship. We will be worshipping and singing in the service. A few different things, please, when the service is over here, and this is to the folks that's at the church physically, that at the end you will be allowed to go row by row, so wait till a deacon comes and tells you when you may leave. At the end of the service, please do not congregate outside, or at least make sure that you observe the 2 meter distance, because one of the things we discovered, people keep their distance in the church, but when they get outside, it's hands, all hands on deck. So please make sure that you observe that. And for your own safety, by the way. And the mask wearing is, I have to be honest and say this, that I find it difficult preaching to people with masks on, because I don't know where you're scowling at me, or where you're putting your tongue out at me, or whatever. I did say over in the other service I prefer to be preaching in a church that was empty, purely because, not that I wouldn't want you here, but because it is so difficult. So I'm getting used to that, but I'm so glad that you're here, so glad we're back together, and so glad that the Lord has made this opportunity for us. And I hate the masks as much as you do, but nevertheless, it's our love for you that's asking us to ensure that you wear a mask. So please remember that, let's worship the Lord. We will be singing, but when we're singing, you will not be standing. The only time that you will stand is at the very closing prayer at the end of the service. I want to read a few verses that have been very much burning in my heart as we've considered coming back together again. And you'll understand when I read them why I've chosen them. It's Psalm 126. Psalm 126, and it's these words. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. We feel a wee bit like that, don't we? We've been captive to all the advice and restrictions of COVID-19. They were like those that dream. I know that people, as soon as they heard of lockdown, they were dreaming to get back again. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the heathen nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Many tears have been shed. Many dreams have been had as we've considered getting back together again. I would hope that it will not always stay like this, and that on sometime soon we'll be able to meet in much closer proximity without all the current restrictions. But nevertheless, one of the things I said this morning in the 10 o'clock service is God has kept his hand on us, hasn't he? We have had no funerals in this church, and I'm not saying that boastfully, I'm saying it thankfully. Concerning COVID-19, we've known one or two families that have been indirectly affected with it, and so the Lord has kept his good hand upon us. But one of the things that has been particularly notable is that the Lord has kept the desire for his house, for his people, and for him on our hearts. And we still have that desire to meet together, to worship and praise and fellowship together in this fashion. And so we're thankful to the Lord for his many mercies and his blessings. Now let's just bow for a moment of prayer together before we sing some songs together. Father, we thank you that we're back together here in this house. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your hand on us. And we thank you for your mercy towards us. And we would pray, dear Father, as we gather together in this house, that we may truly know the Spirit of God amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first song we're going to sing, remaining seated as always, 203, God Sent His Son, and Because He Lives. These songs are all centered upon the thought of how God has undertaken and he's with us, and we can face the future knowing that he goes with us and he goes before us. Thank you, band. Singing, and at the first service, and another one we're going to sing here is an aspiration of our hearts. Come thou fount of every blessing. It's good to get back amongst each other, back into the physical building, but the people are the building, the people are the church, and we want his presence to be part of our fellowship as he meets with us and mixes and mingles. May we know that fountain of blessing that comes from his presence amongst us. Come thou fount of every blessing. Thanks, Paulie. wasn't expecting that last verse, but nevertheless, it was a really good verse. Last song we're going to sing before we get into the rest of the service. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Regardless of what signs and scenes and whatever circumstances we may find ourselves in, He's still a wonderful, merciful Savior. Thanks. Announcements, and Samuel Bullitt, if Samuel will make his way to the front of the church and we'll call him up to the pulpit after Billy gives the announcement. Thank you very much. So Samuel, if you hear me, make sure you're not too far away.
Well, good morning everyone. It's great to be back together again, worshipping God in the building here. So it's tremendous. Even if you have to put up with the announcements and the church secretary's comments. And, you know, I was just thinking that some of you actually look better with masks on. Social distancing will keep me safe outside the church. Can I just make a couple of housekeeping, make you aware of some points? First of all, when we leave the service, we'll be leaving by the front and the back. And if you would kindly remain seated until the deacons tell your row to go out. If you're going the back, straight out the main door, and at the front here you'll be going out the choir room door. Now, if you're in the balcony, you may just sit with your feet up because you're going out last, unfortunately. That's the way things are. Now, thank you very much for your cooperation, especially in seating this morning. People are not sitting where they usually sit, and we thank you for being flexible like that. It meant that we could get more people in. The booking system will continue for the next couple of weeks. So can I remind you that if you're going to the 10 a.m. service, then please phone Brian Bell. If you're coming to the 11:30 service, then would you contact Andrew Cuthbert? And Andrew would appreciate you sending a text. There are many more people coming to the this service, so give him a break. You know, the phone will be going red hot. So if you can text him, and I do want to thank Andrew for the trouble that he's gone to and the tremendous work he's done and just getting everybody fitted in like this. If you have decided to wait and see what's happening, or you've decided to, I'm speaking to people online now, if you've decided that you are going to stay at home and let other people come, do put your name down and come. We'll try and get a rolling system so that everybody has an opportunity to come to the service. Now, the drive-in is on this evening at 5 o'clock in Jordanstown University, and the pastor will be speaking at that service. It's been great to see people come along on Wednesday evening at 7:30 for the church prayer meeting in the hall. So keep on coming, keep on praying for the work of the church here. Next week at 10 o'clock and 11:30, the pastor will be speaking at both of those services. And then again, we'll hopefully have our drive-in at 5 o'clock next Sunday evening. Last Sunday and last week was our 10th Sunday, and the money goes to our own folk. Everything that came in, whether online or through envelopes that came in this week, and the amount that we received was £2,755. So thank you very much on behalf of our own folk for that generosity. Now, due to the ongoing situation with COVID-19, we can't say at the moment when the different departments and organisations in the church will start up again. However, it is with regret that the deacons have to announce that the Boys' Brigade will not be recommencing due to a number of issues, including staffing. We wish to thank our captain, Sharon Barr, and the officers for the sterling work that they have done, and express our appreciation to former captains and officers for their work with the BB down through the many years the company has been running in the church. So thank you very much, folks. Finally, can I express sympathy to the family of Georgie Barr, who died during the week. So that's to her husband Drew, and also to the family, Stevie, Sharon and Andrea. And can I also take the opportunity to express sympathy to all the others in our congregation who have lost loved ones during the lockdown. And we haven't had the opportunity formally to express the sympathy of the church. We have been praying for you, and we will continue to pray for the family of Georgie Barr. These are all the announcements, and of course they're all made, God willing.
Thank you very much, Billy. Appreciate it. Now, you wonder why we're bringing Samuel up. Last week we were saying goodbye to Letitia Price, who has finished with her internship here with us. And so I'm going to ask Samuel if you'll come home and stand somewhere over that side there. And because Samuel's going in to do an internship as Coaching for Christ. And so he's come forward to the... That's it, good man. And so he's starting, I think, probably around October. Is that right, Samuel?
Next week?
Right, so it's part-time next week and then full-time in October. And so we wanted to, as we as a church, want to remind him that we're praying for him as he goes into this new chapter in his life for a year or so, at least, primarily with the Coaching for Christ. And we want to give him his our blessing from the church. So let's pray together in prayer, and let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can know the leading and the guiding of God in so many different areas and so many different ways in our lives. Thank you, Lord, how you lead us, and you positively and you definitely lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that you might be glorified. And as you've been leading Samuel into this next step for his life, Lord, as he goes into Coaching for Christ, we pray that Samuel may know the blessing of God as he goes, first of all, for these part-time activities, and then, Lord, into October, as he would know a fuller and deeper mentoring and involvement with Coaching for Christ. Lord, we pray that he'll learn much, that he'll understand much, that he'll experience much, Lord, by way of instruction, direction, and the blessing of God. We pray that he may know the gracious hand of God of leading and guiding him, Father, and undertake for him in all that he does. Lord, we know that you equip those whom you call, and so we pray that you will equip Samuel, Lord, for every challenge that he'll face, and that we as a church, Lord, will pray for him, get behind him, and encourage him as he seeks to follow your will for his life. And so we commit him to you, Lord. Thank you for him. Thank you for his salvation. Thank you for the day you saved him, Father. And pray that he may indeed know much of God's grace as he follows you in obedience. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Samuel. Appreciate it very much. Now we have one or two boys and girls here in the service, and so we want to do a wee song for them. Our God is so big, so strong and so mighty. Again, remaining seated, but I think you can do the accents. That'll not be a problem. So we'll do the accents. Our God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. Let's sing together. Thanks. Now sing your best, even though you've got a mask on your face, all right? That covers you, Samuel. There's nothing that God cannot do. Can I also add one other announcement? And that is, we welcome Mr. and Mrs. Stephen and Valerie Bailey into our service this morning. They were married a Saturday week past, and so they're old married hand now. And I rang Samuel up during the week and I said, Samuel, sit with your, or sorry, Samuel, Stephen. Did I say Stephen? Samuel. Stephen Bailey. So I said, Stephen, make sure you sit with your wife for the first Sunday because we're not in the ministry of separation. All right, so Stephen, if I called you Samuel, maybe your middle name is Stephen and Valerie, thank you so much for being here and we trust the Lord to bless you in your married life together. All right, we're going to sing another song. I just keep wishing that we could get you to stand, but we'll let you remain seated. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. Remaining seated, we'll sing together. what a great song, what a great truth. Can I remind you that if you come to the drive-in service at 5 o'clock, it would be great to see you. Even though we're back physically here, it's been wonderful to sense the Lord's presence. And we certainly knew the Lord's presence in the car park last Sunday at 5 o'clock. If you're going to the drive-in, go along the shore road and come up towards car park 5. That's the entrance you use, and you'll find us there. And Brian and Evelyn Bell will be singing, because I've asked them to sing a specific song. And we're looking at message 2 on the return of the King, part 2. And you know how thrilling it was last Sunday, and I would expect it to be equally as thrilling this coming evening as well. If you were at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, I did say to you folks that I was struggling in that I wanted to know the Lord's clarity in what to preach. And I did say to you as well in that prayer meeting, on the way out of the house to come to the prayer meeting, the prayer gathering it on Wednesday, that God had put a word, just one word, that started to work in my mind and work in my heart. I was after seeking the Lord for 2 days, and was getting a little bit frustrated as to, how do you come back? What do you come back with? What is the message that ought to be on my heart? And the word that God had put in my heart was building. And as I said to the folks earlier, we have numbers. We have the numbers of people who have been affected by COVID-19 as far as physically and medically is concerned. But we don't know what the numbers are of people who have been devastated spiritually through COVID-19. Haven't got a record. I suspect it'll be probably worse than we think. How could you really survive whenever fellowship is one of the means of grace that God has given us to encourage and inspire one another and show that we care? I know that we've been doing the best that we can, and I certainly will say this, and I don't say it boastfully. We have certainly done everything within this church and the leadership of this church to make sure God's people have been catered for. And if anybody's got a complaint about anything we've done, then I think you're hard to please. We've done everything. However, that all said, even with the phone calls, and at one stage Esther and I were phoning about 50 to 60 people a week to make sure that we were keeping in contact, and some of you will know that we phoned you as well. But there's something about meeting together, isn't there? There's a dynamic that we cannot do without, and it encourages and inspires us. And because that has been missing, I believe that the fallout from that, the people that have fallen victim to the lack of fellowship, is going to be greater than we think. And the one word that was coming on my mind as I was thinking of returning back to church is the rebuilding. And those of you who are attending our Bible studies for the last year, 18 months now, will know that we looked into that subject, Nehemiah, the revival and the rebuilding that we need. Well, we're returning now to Nehemiah, but we're returning to it in chapter 1, if you want to look up the passages together. We're turning to Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to read a few verses in chapter 2. And we're going to apply it more personally, more practically, more locally to us as a church and us as individuals. And we're going to look at some of the lessons that we can learn and what it is that God would say to us now that we're trying to start in a new normal. And I trust this is not the normal. I trust it's not. I trust that around the corner, God has some mighty miracle that He will enact for us as His people. Because I want to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ is the apple of God's eye. We are the reason that God will work. We are the reason that God will move in a community and bring healing and deliverance. And so, as this word has burned on my heart, I want to burn it into your heart. Now, I only got halfway through this morning, and I already was working all day yesterday for following Sunday, but that's going to have to be now 3 or 4 weeks ahead, so we'll see how we get on, because we've only got a limited time. We can't keep you over the hour. So let's read together from Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to read into chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 1, and here's what it says. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who were left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. So not only was he concerned for the physical walls, folks, he was concerned for the people. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. And so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before the Lord of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O God and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lie waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Go to verse 8. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel that pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for the living word of the living God. Thank you, God, for your mercies which are new every morning. Thank you for manna from heaven. Thank you for the blessing of fellowship one with the other. Thank you that you've kept your good hand on us over the past weeks and months. Lord, you've provided for us from ways and from sources that we never would have even recalled or remembered or thought about a few years ago. Thank you for personally caring for us, for our families that have been saved. Thank you for keeping your hand on our church and its members and its adherents. Thank you for your great love, your mercies which are new every morning. Thank you for the wonder and the splendor of who you are. Thank you, Lord, for the many, many things which we take so much for granted. And yet, Lord, as we put them under the microscope and a looking glass, magnifying glass, Lord, thank you that we see the deepest measure of God's love and grace for us. We pray, Father, that you'll bless your word to us now. We ask too, Father, that you'll bless Stevie and Barr and Andrea Orr and the family circle as they mourn the passing of a loved one. For Drew, Georgie's husband, we pray in his world that he may know the grace of God. For the many who have been sick, Lord, who have been unwell, Stevie, Sidney Johnson, Alan Hicks, Ian Cameron, Arthur Robinson, and others, Father, we thank you for your grace towards them and pray that they may know your peace and blessing and healing at this time. Now, Father, give us grace and help us. We're going to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As I thought about this word rebuilding, I know that those of you who attended the Bible study will have a wee bit of a head start in where we're coming from. But as I said, we're going to look at this more practically, more corporately, more concerning the church here in Newton Abbey. And it's notable that in chapter 2 of verse 8, and the second part of verse 8, it says that the hand of God was on Nehemiah. That term, the hand of God, on certain individuals throughout the scriptures, is very prominent and very common. Let me give you a few examples. And it's interesting that when the hand of God was on individuals, things happened. Circumstances changed. And a new normal began. People did things that they couldn't have done. People heard things that they couldn't have heard. And people accomplished things that they couldn't have accomplished. And people remembered things that they couldn't have remembered had it not been for the hand of God on them. Let me give you a few examples, and we mightn't get much further than this. Elijah. The hand of God came upon Elijah, and he would have even beaten Mo Farah in a sprint race. He outran horses over a huge distance. The hand of God, the Bible says, was on him. God enabling him to do supernatural things in a natural world. Elijah. Jabez, that poster pin-up man for the blessing of God in Chronicles. How that God blessed him. And he was the picture, the source, the illustration of what it means when you give your life wholly and totally into the hand of God. What it means then for those who will do that, the blessing that they'll receive. And the Lord granted that which he requested. Because the hand of the Lord was on him. Jabez. Whole books have been written about those three verses in 2 Chronicles of this man. And what about Ezra in chapter 7? Ezra, who affords appreciation and thankfulness to God for the way that God has provided for everything concerning the building of the temple and the safety that he enjoyed as he sought to establish again the worship of God in Jerusalem. And at least they saw a little bit of the work of God accomplished in the temple in Jerusalem. The hand of God, says Ezra in chapter 7 and verse 28, was on him. Well, what about Ezekiel? Ezekiel in the Bible says that the hand of God came upon Ezekiel and he was transported supernaturally. Whether it was physically or whether it was in a vision, who knows? But certainly he saw things as God saw them and he was transported into a war zone. And he saw how God's people really were. It was like a battle scene. The enemy had wrought his worst. What about David? It says in Psalm 32 and verse 4. It says of David, he says, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. That was because of his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 are related. They're both a response in David's heart to God's dealings with him with his sin and adultery with Bathsheba. And so the hand of God on David was for discipline and for chastening. And who of us couldn't say that the hand of God hasn't brought us there? Who of us could say that any of us, none of us, I don't need God's chastening and correction. We all need to be corrected. And what about Joshua? Joshua chapter 4. Joshua eventually leads the people across Jordan and he gets them to build a pile of stones. And he says, for all that the Lord has done for us, this will be a memento. This will be a memorial too, for the Lord's deliverance from Pharaoh and from Egypt and across the Red Sea and through the wilderness. And finally, after rejection and rebellion, has brought us now across the Jordan River and there to record to the generations to come of God's grace towards us as his people. He's been our Ebenezer. Our great conqueror. Now what about Peter? Peter, he said, Lord, I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. And a few moments later, he was denying the Lord with oaths and curses. And as a consequence, he knew the humbling hand of God. And Peter records that in 1 Peter chapter 5 and 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. I want to tell you, have we not known something of the humbling of God upon us as a church? Or what about the early church in chapter 11, verse 21? Because of the hand of God on that early church, they exploded in numbers, numerically, to the left and to the right, and there are multitudes of people coming to Christ, as the recorder Luke says in chapter 11 of Acts in chapter 21, because the hand of God was on the early church. Some of you will have read books on revival. And you'll know that it was often said that in the Hebrides revival in the early 1940s, whenever God came upon those islands, people were lying prostrate before God. Men, women and children had come face to face with God, and there was conviction. And some men, if you've read the stories as I have read them, if you read the books as I have read them, then you'll know that there were people who couldn't move for weeks because the hand of God had been upon them. Question I want to consider for this first Sunday back is the hand of God on us. I know some people have said that COVID-19 and its affliction has been the hand of God on us. I don't see that. I've said to you before, it's not the hand of God. God allows things. God is sovereign. He's in control, and I know that. And He can turn every situation and any situation around. And Joseph is a prime example. All things work together for good. This world is not out of control. God is in full control. I want to survey this subject of the hand of God on Nehemiah. I want to apply it to my own heart, and I want to also apply it to your heart. And I know that we won't get very far, but let's listen. And I know that you're breathing in an awful lot of carbon dioxide at the moment, and that'll make you sleepy, because I know that, because I've seen it in the earlier service. And I don't know how we're going to overcome that. Maybe you'll get visors for next week. That may be better. There's a wee bit. And I'm selling them at... No, I'm not. Here's the first thing. As I observe these passages, here's the first thing for you. The situation that was so heartbreaking. You'll see that in verses 1, chapter 1, and you'll see it in chapter 2. And the thing that I want to say to you is this. Whenever the hand of God came upon Nehemiah, he saw things as God saw them. Now, I could multiply a lot of words, but that's literally what happened. Because I will say this to you. Had the hand of God not been on Nehemiah, he would have went back to his cushy job in Shushan, where he was one of the prominent members of the king's court, and he wouldn't have cared less. I mean, are there not folks who couldn't care less about what's happening to other people of God? Who scarcely give a thought as to what they're suffering or what they're going through? And we often look at those who have fallen and we'll say, well, that's a disgrace to the church. We don't know what's going on in our lives. It's time we started to see things as God sees them. And it's time that we started to see the world as God sees it. And we've been far too lethargic, far too indifferent, far too careless as we viewed the world. And I believe that COVID-19 has almost pressed the reset button, certainly in my life. And let's start to see. So I suggest to you, dear brothers and sisters, men and women, those of you listening online, many of you, those of you online aren't getting as much attention as you usually get, because there are far more people in front of me. And I'm thankful for that, by the way. We have come back to church, and the only thing that's in my mind is the workers in desperate need to be rebuilt. After the awful damage that has been inflicted upon us. And I must say, the only reason I obey to masks and social distancing is because we show love for you and for the church. And we certainly don't want to be a bad example to the unsaved that watch us and are willing to point the finger of accusation, who would say to us very quickly, they don't observe any laws, they're a law unto themselves. What Nehemiah learned of the devastation of his beloved city broke his heart. Now, those of you who came to the Bible studies will know this, that Jerusalem is the center of worship. It's the spiritual center of Judaism, and therefore it was the very heart of everything that the people wear. Does our heart break at the state of our land? I want you to think about this for a minute. Over this almost 6 month period of lockdown, abortions and sex change operations took precedence over cancer treatment and heart operations. Now, brothers and sisters, is that right? Can that be right? You're allowed to reply if you wish. As if you're not asleep with that carbon dioxide in your mouth. Can it be right? I don't think so. Governments have assisted restaurants by paying half the bill. And I'm sure, knowing you from Newton Abbey, you'll have availed of it. Well, I didn't. But you go in and you get a meal and half the bill is paid just to get bums on seats in restaurants. And they put such stringent restrictions on the church. You'd almost think that COVID-19 was bred in churches. And their advice to churches is so vague. I mean, they've put us on a guilt trip. They say that you must be 2 meters, not less than 1 meter. But if you go less than 1 meter and someone gets sick, it's your own conscience, be it. And on it has gone. Funerals, people have been refused to get to the funerals. Weddings have had to be cancelled. And churches have had such tight, stringent controls that all it has done is bred negativity in our spiritual worship. And all the while bending over backwards to make sure the world goes on with its commerce and its economy. But you know, I could be a hypocrite here today. And I could spend my time castigating Pastor Boris. Oh no, Boris Johnson's not a pastor, he's a prime minister. We think we put a pastor into Westminster. He's just a prime minister like everybody else, and he's fallen. Don't expect perfection to come from Westminster. But we could spend our time castigating politicians. And we could ignore the mote in our own eye, the plank that's in our own eye, and in the eyes of the church. It'd be easy to spend our time criticising the social and political state of our land. But what about the spiritual state? I want to tell you folks, it's time the hand of God came on us. And it's time we got to work. And it's time we pressed the reset button and looked at the way we do things, looked at why we do things, and looked to see how things can be improved. It's time for personal, corporal, spiritual revival of intimacy with the Father through Christ. Who of us could not say, all we like sheep have gone astray? We've turned everyone to our own way. We became so comfortable. I remember Tommy Shaw preaching once. And Tommy was always a fairly straight preacher. You know that, because he's a minister here for 10 years. Remember, he took a whole series in our Faith Mission Pilgrim meetings. A whole series on the Pilgrim's meetings. Remember that, Esther? And there we were. And he said, all he kept saying was, Pilgrim, are you backslidden in heart? And he did about 6 messages on the poor old pilgrims, are you backslidden in heart? And after us slogging our life out for months and months on end, going up and down lanes and in and out of housing estates and getting the worst of the worst from the unseen. And yet, dear friend, is that not the case maybe for the church today? Are we backslidden? Have we lost the vision? Are we doing things so comfortably? Have we become so comfortable in our own lives that we're not thinking of the kingdom to come? It's time to name it and shame it. The sins of our own hearts. It's time to take the bull by the horns and recognize where we've gone wrong instead of pointing out the sins of others. It's time to awaken out of our lethargy, careless, disobedience, attitude towards the things of God and His work, and take God seriously. How many sermons have we heard about dedicating our lives to God and being fully committed to Him? But are we? Time to rebuild relationships with our families, our friends and our fellowships. Time to let old offences die. Time to let old hurts fade. Time to say goodbye to all those nasty thoughts and ill thoughts that we have towards one another. And time to let the precious healing balm of the Holy Spirit begin to heal us spiritually again. It's time to rebuild our church. It's time to be what we were supposed to be. Where the weary are strengthened, the disillusioned are gladdened, the ignorant are informed, and the seeking are found. It's time again to become the bastion of truth which we were formerly instituted to be. Here's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:15. I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. As he says in Ephesians 2:20, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says we're not only to engage in conflict against the world and its ways, but we're actually to be conquerors as we come to that conflict. Because he says we are more than conquerors. The commitment of the church is to preach the truth. The commission of the church is to reach the win the lost. And the character of the church is to become like Christ. Oh folks, the situation that was so heartbreaking. And we will not really see that unless the hand of God comes upon us and see it for what it really is. Now I'm going to stop at exactly the same place that I stopped this morning in the 10 o'clock service with one more thought. Notice the supplication that was so necessary. What did Nehemiah do? His knees bent. He went to prayer. It was because he was broken in heart that it drove him to the place of prayer. He had no other option, no other choice, no other decision to make. Whenever God showed him what it was really like, he could do only one thing, and that was pray. What's the smallest meeting in any church? The prayer meeting. The prayer meeting. The most neglected, and yet the most precious and powerful place. And he who neglects to pray will never see a thing done. Sometimes we think that there are of prayer, we think of the big men of prayer, the giants of prayer, like E.M. Bounds, Rhys Howells, or Hudson Taylor. And because we think that they were so wonderful, sometimes we think that those who pray the loudest and pray the longest are the ones that are often most heard. I want to tell you, it's not about who prays the loudest, and it's not about who prays the longest, but it's who prays with the deepest burden. And sometimes we cancel ourselves out of the possibility of used in prayer because we looked at the giants. But Nehemiah was a nobody. He was merely a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. He was the last line of defense. If he tasted anything with poison in it, then he expired. So he was dispensable, replaceable, and expendable. He was a nobody. And yet look at the many answers to prayer. Look at the many prayers he offers up. And I believe that the city of Jerusalem and its walls, which we'll be looking at over the next few weeks, would not have been rebuilt had God not came upon him and put his hand upon him. And my challenge and my desire for this church and for you and I as individuals is that we would seek the hand of God to come upon us and to motivate us to be all that God has challenged us and has commanded us to be under the mighty hand of God. He prayed passionately. You'll see that in chapter 1, verse 6, and you see it all the way through chapter 2. You know, I want to tell you, prayer can be a pretty formal thing, can't it, if you haven't got a burden for it. If we're only going through the motions, then it can be a pretty tough place to be. And notice he didn't point the finger at others, and he wasn't blaming others. He first of all pointed the finger of accusation at his own sin. And then for the well-being of his own people. And my time is gone here because I don't want to overstretch our hour. We will come back to this next Sunday. Can I ask you, would you today, sitting in this church, as we view the spiritual landscape of our land and our fellowship and our church, pray to God and ask him, Lord, would you put your hand on me? Help me see things the way you see them, how you see them. And I believe things will change. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you will continue to minister to us by your word. Lord, we ask for your revelation. We ask, Lord, for humble hearts to hear what the Lord will say. As we see the great need to rebuild the work of God, even in our own lives and in the lives that we meet on a daily basis. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our final song. And I can say to you, there will be offering boxes on the way out. It's a free will offering. Or we'll see, we won't be going around lifting an offering. And you'll see the boxes on your way out through the various doors. But we're going to remain seated. We're going to sing together. And then we'll stand for prayer at the very end. Thank you very much. Jesus, all for Jesus. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the help and the healing and the comfort of the Holy Spirit rest and abide and remain with us each one. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you as you journey home. We'll see you at the drive-in at 5 o'clock. God bless. Thank you.